I'm Nick Harcourt, and welcome to Stories Behind the Sessions, where we speak with some of our favorite producers and engineers about their favorite recording sessions and the stories behind them. Joining us on this episode, I'm happy to welcome Neil Pogue. He's an LA-based Grammy Award-winning producer, engineer, and mixer based in Los Angeles. Neil's work includes engineering and mixing Outkast's Speaker Box, The Love Below in 2004, which won a Grammy Album of the Year. And he engineered and arranged the horns on TLC's massive hit Waterfalls. He's also produced for such artists as MIA, Nelly Furtado, Earth, Wind & Fire, and has mixed for artists such as TLC, Pink, Nicki Minaj, Janelle Monáe, and Tyler, the Creator, and that's just a few. Can we talk about a couple of stories behind some of your sessions I mentioned?
Yeah, if I can blow the cobwebs off my brain, let's go for it.
I mentioned in the intro, Waterfalls. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a funny story. That was a session that was like at 2 a.m. in the morning, something like that, give or take. And, you know, the producers, Organized Noise, had the idea of bringing horns in. And it was late, so they called these horn players after midnight, which is not, you know, which is unusual for horn players.
Sure.
You know, but they came down, but no one had a plan. They were like, you know, okay, what are we going to do? And so I was pretty tired, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to tell them what I hear. And so I just gave them the parts, you know, told them what I hear, because I'm, you know, me being well-versed on, you know, on certain groups that had horns, like Earth, Wind & Fire, and, you know, and Kool & the Gang, and all these early, you know, Brass Construction, or all these early horn, you know, bands, the Ohio Players too. So all those horn, you know, those horn bands are in my head. So that was easy for me to say, hey, let's try this, let's do this. So I came up with the arrangement for it, you know, which was pretty fun. You know, it was late, I was tired, but it became right. Fun.
You know? So when you're saying that you hear those things in your head, how do you then let somebody know what you're hearing so that they can do that setup for
you? Because the music always talks to me. So hearing that song and hearing the arrangement, you know, I'm always hearing melodies inside my head. So that's what I heard. So what made sense to the song, that's what I told them to play.
Right.
You know.
And then can you take us through the actual recording?
Right from the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That started with a SB-12 drum machine and the incredible Ray Murray, who's one-third of Organized Noise. And they call me the silent partner of Organized Noise because I was always there with them.
You know? Right.
I was like the fourth guy. But you got Ray, you got Pat, you got Rico, that's Organized Noise. And so Ray's just sitting there messing with the SB-12, and he came up with this incredible drum thing, you know, drum break. And it was incredible. It was odd because it has this loud snare roll, you
yes.
know? And I'm sitting there just waiting for him to finish the programming, and I'm just hearing this loud thing. I was like, wow, that's unusual. So he's back at the credenza, and I'm at the board, and I'm just, you know, sitting there, whatever, maybe looking at TV or whatever, and I'm hearing them program this beat. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. And I've never heard anything like that before. It goes, brrr, that loud snare roll. And I didn't think he was going to keep it, but I was thinking, what's he going to do with that? but I thought it was cool, but he kept it. And then, you know, and then he called in the bass player, he called in the keyboard. He said, who should we get for keyboards? And so, you know, it was always a collaborative thing. And so it was always this list of musicians that we use in Atlanta, you know, and, you know, if this guy wasn't available, we'd call him, whatever. So, you know, we called these guys down and they didn't know what they were going to do.
Right. They're just coming in for a gig.
Yeah. Coming for a gig, and it all came together. And this music, this thing that came together, it was beautiful. And the next phase was, okay, what's going to be written on top of this? Because the music was... It was just amazing, and this incredible lyricist named Marquez, he wrote this incredible story, and it was innovative, you know, it was different, it made sense to the time, because that's when, you know, the AIDS epidemic was happening during that time, and so it was pretty powerful.
Once you got the horn parts down. What's the next stage? What happened next?
We had to plan a mix session,
right?
You know, And I remember that day because I was in there all by myself. Organized Noise never came down. And after we did the horn sessions, I noticed that we put them in different places in the song, but it all had to make sense. So at that time, I had an ASR 10 sampler. And so I had to take each part, blend it, sample it inside my sampler, and then play it in the parts, in the sections where I wanted it to be.
Right.
Because it was late, and I was like, yeah, just play this at this section, whatever. But at the mix session, I had to arrange the horns in the places that I thought it would sound good. So when you listen to Waterfalls, where you hear them playing is where I actually sampled it. I placed it there, you know? So I had to do that even before I started mixing. So that was a day of doing that,
right?
You know, of blending it, make sure that the levels were good. Then, you know, put it inside the sampler and then have to sit there and place it. So that was a day of that.
Right.
Then the following day, I started mixing, you know?
Right.
Then I had to start, you know, work on the music first.
Right. So the first day was just really sort of fitting all the pieces together.
Right. That's what it was. It was,
right.
You know, make sure that puzzle was right.
Yeah.
All the music was there, all the vocals were there, but the horns had to be placed.
Got it.
And but you know, it was tedious, but it was a fun process because after you're done with it, you're listening to it, you go, okay. But there's no one else telling you if they like it or not. So I just did it, and next day I mixed it and sent it to the label, and at that time that was L.A. Reed, who was the head of the Face Records at that time. So Organized Noise heard it, he heard it, and they loved it. I didn't have to go back and change anything. And I was like, wow, okay.
Right.
But it's so funny, till this day, I still listen to that mix and I want to change something. I always find something that I want to change. I don't know what it is right now,
yeah.
But if I hear, if I'm in Ralph's,
sure.
Or if I'm in wherever there's some, you know, that they have music, it. I'm walking somewhere, or if I'm listening on a radio or something. And
you're like, damn, if I could do that again.
Yeah, man. And I, you know, it's so funny. I listened to that song, and I listened how it was long hours, but it's so satisfying that people love it and they see it as a classic because I worked so many hours on that song. And so it's validating.
Is that the mixer's curse, though, that you hear something later on and there's always something that you think about?
Yeah, and that's why I never go back and listen to it. Like, after I send it, and if they like it, I don't go back and listen.
Although, as you said, if you have a song that, you know, sells 11 million copies, you're going to be hearing it in Ralph's.
Yeah, it's going to haunt you. So you better have something else to trump that you later on.
Right.
Excuse me. You know, and thank God I've had hits after that.
Right.
And that's just one of the hits on the list. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's great that people come up to me and they still talk about that. So even though it's 30 years old, but and that says a lot when something is 30 years old and they, you know, cause I know I listen to songs that are 30 years old from a certain point, not from here 30 years, but somewhere else.
Sure.
You know, like some from the 60s or from the 70s or 80s, you know, when you talk about 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But to have something that has aged and still be considered one of the top songs ever is pretty amazing. I think that Organized Noise and we really accomplished something.
Do you think about that legacy of the work? Do you think about stuff that you've made? Like, so now you can say, well, that's 30 years ago, and people still come up to me and say, hey, man, I really dig what you did on that.
Yeah.
Do you think about that this stuff will just live on?
I think Tyler's stuff will live on. I really do. I think the Maria's album will live on, you know, certain projects like that. Well, I mean, the Outcast, you know, the Love Below, that will live on.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot that I worked on will live on because it's not trendy, you know, and I take pride in that, you know, so I don't work on a lot of trendy stuff. So.
Right. A lot of the stuff you do is a reflection of the moment that it's made.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's something that it will go on forever.
Yeah.
It'll just, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and each generation will catch on to it, and then they'll love it, and, you know, people's kids and so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great talking to you again, man.
Always. Yeah. It's been a while.
Real pleasure.
Like it's been 10 years, but it's only been like probably 3-4 years.
Yeah, but it's like it's been a fog. I mean, I feel like 3 years passed by and, you know, two of them were just I mean, I don't know what happened in 2021. I mean, you were busy, but.
No, it's still a fog. I mean, it's almost like 2020 never happened. It's still a fog. Even though I was busy, it's always a fog.
Yeah. Keep on keeping on.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.